Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
We are so glad everyone is here for this episode.
We are.
Because one of us didn't send out the Zoom link till 8:15 tonight. Mm-hmm. And Mike's like, so is nobody coming? And I'm like, no, they're coming. If I hadn't sent it then, about 8:25, I would have gotten a message from Leah, and she'd been like, got a Zoom link for me?
No, it would have been like 8:40.
8:40. Yeah, so Amanda would have messaged me.
Say 8:25? That is prepared. We all know I'm not.
I mean, I looked at the doc and everything earlier, and I didn't notice there wasn't a Zoom link. I had no clue that we were missing the Zoom link today.
I looked at the doc when I signed into the Zoom tonight.
We are so on it. Leah, Rebecca, I read your newsletter today.
Did you like my newsletter today?
For all your weather needs.
You like that?
For our weekly weather report.
I mean, I figure we might as well lean into it.
Just lean in books and weather. Is that the new?
Sure.
I mean, meteorologist is one of the few, like, careers you can choose where you can be wrong 90% of the time. I feel like, I mean, there is science that goes into it, but a lot of times it feels like they're guessing. I can do that.
This is true. I mean, do you need
to? I woke up this morning to snow, but it wasn't at my house. We were in Clarion at a dive clinic. It was very, very nice yesterday. The moms and I were walking around Clarion because we were not sitting and watching diving for like 8 hours. But I woke up this morning because I didn't feel like driving home yesterday. There was snow on the ground.
So did you just stay in a hotel?
Yes, we stayed at the hotel. So yesterday morning, the boy and I drove to Clarion, which is only like an hour and a half, but we all know that is way out of my bubble. But also I figured, so the way the clinic was, he dove for like a couple hours. They had a break. They dove for a couple more hours and they had this like classroom time. And I was like, after that, he's probably gonna be beat. I'm not gonna want to drive home. So we just hung out with one of the other moms, and one of his good friends stayed. So we went to dinner and hung out, and then he was ready to pass out at like,
I bet
10
that's
o'clock.
A lot of intensity.
It is a lot, but he learned a lot. He had a great time, and I was super excited about this coach. He's actually super young. So I mean, he's like around our age, I'd say, but he was.
Wait, we're super
very,
young. We're super young.
No, but like for a dive coach at a university, like he was young.
Sweetheart, I don't think so. The new football coach at the University of Findlay is like 34.
Okay. Well, stop, because I like to think that I'm younger than I am. But anyway, but he has like a full sleeve, a ponytail. Like he's very like, but he was very good with the kids. Like, cause we did watch
the
like
ponytail.
Part
That's
of the
why
one
you
session.
Think he's young.
No, he looks young too. Shut up. I hate you so much. But anyway, he was really good with the kids, and he had very positive things to say about like their effort and the fact that none of the boys had ever dove before this year. So it was good. They had a good time.
Excellent. Amanda, did you do anything exciting yesterday?
We had my brother-in-law and a friend over last night. So it was a long day, but that was I had to people, but that was my last day of peopling. I'm not peopling anymore until April.
Fair.
That is fair.
I worked at the bookstore yesterday. It was fun. I had a good time.
There was a lot of peopling though.
It was a lot of peopling. Funny story. Guy comes in, young guy. He was young. I know who he was, and he is my child's age. Young guy comes in and he's buying Game Changer in Heated Rivalry, and because he loved the show and he wants to read the books. And I'm like, oh, I said, Game Changer, Scott and Kip Forever. Like,
yeah,
I will buy you a purple smoothie. And he's like, okay. as we were talking about it, and he's wanted to talk about the show, and I'm like, oh yeah. I said, listen, I said, it's one of the best book to TV adaptations that we are currently seeing. I said, but I have one complaint. And mind you, the bookstore was busy.
Oh
The bookstore was
no.
busy. I was like, my complaint is there's no lube in the TV show. And he's like, oh, there isn't. And I said, lube's a big deal in the book. I said, I hope season two has lube. That's my only hope for season two. And he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna buy these books. Thank you very
He's
much. And I'm
like,
like, you're
thank
so
you, crazy
welcome.
lady. Crazy
Public
lube
service.
lady.
Public service. Yes, Jenny, I told them that my hope for season two is lube. So.
I saw a thread like earlier today, and it made me think of you. It was somebody was talking about how she and her husband had gotten like a walking pad, and that they had ordered, you have to lubricate the
Yeah.
track. And so they had bought extra, not realizing that the one that they bought was going to come with some. So they were going to return it to, I'm assuming, Amazon. She didn't say, but the extra lube. And she said that they were, they had forgotten it. And then they were standing in a bookstore or whatever, and they're like, we forgot the lube. And she's like, that started like a whole conversation. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. It made me think of you.
That
I was
is
like, if you've
so
been in that
something I would
bookstore.
do. That, and if I heard someone talking about lube, you know I would have to chime
That's
in on
that
that
was more my
conversation.
thought. Yes.
Like,
Yeah.
you would totally interject into that
why do you
conversation.
need lube? What are we doing with the lube?
Yeah.
I am pro lube.
Lube is very important, people.
Lube is important. Olive oil's for your chicken, not your butthole.
Oh
Just, you know. Okay, so I won't talk about that anymore because Amanda's gonna be like, Becky, no more lube.
I mean, I
So
continued the conversation, so.
so lube has been taken care of. The weather
Yes.
has been taken care of. It's time to talk about books now.
Let's talk
Yeah.
about our episode. Let's see here. Becky is going to start handing out packets
Oh
with books.
my God. Oh my God,
Oh, okay.
Becky.
So you guys don't, I don't know if everybody knows this or not. So Leon, I don't know if Leah's coming. I've invited Leah. I'm fairly certain I'll be dragging Jenny with me. If not, Mike Burrier will be helping me man a table. We're doing Pages of Glass in Toledo the first Saturday in
Yes, I am
August.
coming to
You're
that.
coming to that. And I was saying to Leah, we should start brainstorming ideas for us to hand out at the table, swag stuff. Like we're going to come up with maybe some trope cards, maybe a tarot card. You know, we're throwing around some ideas. Chip clips was an idea that came up.
Oh, nice.
And
Scrunchies.
scrunchies. So we were talking about that. Well, then my friend Britt that owns the bookstore, she's having an event the last Saturday in June called Lit on the Lawn. And they're inviting bookish vendors and authors to come and have a bookish marketplace. And she's like, and you get a table. And I'm like, I get a table, which means I'm going to need swag for that table. So what do we put? I think travel size packets
There
of
you
lube with our sticker name on it would be phenomenal.
go. There you
I think
go.
so too. And I like when Jenny made that comment in the chat, I thought of it. I
That.
was like, that would be amazing.
Anyway, so if you're in Northwest Ohio or you want to come to Toledo and hang out, you can see me in Toledo the first Saturday in August, or you can see us lit on the lawn, the last Saturday of June. So, see, and I hear lit on the lawn, and I don't think books.
No,
I
I'm
don't think
thinking
books either.
alcohol.
I'm thinking, how drunk can I get on a lawn in
Or
public at a
like
book event?
how many gummies are being ingested? Yeah.
I don't know. We have two dispensaries now in town.
I mean,
We don't have to go to Tiffin
it could
anymore.
be lit.
It could be lit. Okay, this is again not what our episode's about, but if you have excellent
Not
swag
even
ideas,
close.
if you have excellent
If
swag
there's, well,
ideas,
actually,
send
if
us an
there's
email.
just swag that you really like, let
Yeah.
us know
Or send us a
because
picture of
that
it.
is important.
Yeah. Okay. So on this episode, we are hoping to kind of answer some questions, not create more confusion. But we also are going to talk about some of the hot takes that come with this discussion because, man, you spend 5 minutes on threads and you are, you know, we
I
used to say
can't
book
handle
talk was the wild,
threads.
wild west. It is
No, threads
not.
is way worse.
Threads is way worse.
Like, honestly, book talk is calm. compared to Threads.
Yeah. Jenny does say she'll be doing Lit on the Lawn with us and Pages of Glass. So, anyway, Michael does not have to man a booth with lube. Oh my God, now I'm going to be the one handing out lube. What have I done?
Yeah, she totally is.
Anyway, back to our topic. So on this episode, we are going to talk about publishing paths. They can feel confusing from the outside, especially when every corner of the internet has a hot take about what counts as real success. We're also going to talk about the ideas of indie, hybrid, traditional. We're going to break down those terms. We're going to do the myths that come along with those terms. So we're breaking down in a simple, no-nonsense way. We're going to talk about what they mean, how they work, and why there's no single right way to build a writing career or great books into readers' hands or get books into readers' hands. We're also talking about this so you, as from a reader's perspective, understand why there are 17 copies of the same book. Because that's something that we hear a lot. Like when I was working at the bookstore, like one girl was talking about Penn Cole's series. Well, the next book in her trilogy was delayed. It was supposed to be out like September of 2025. But in the midst of writing that one is when she sold it. And then she had to do some re-edits on the first two books and it was delayed.
And when you sell a book, it takes forever for it to actually get published.
Yep. So we're going to talk about all of that. There's always a lot of conversation around publishing paths and honestly, some very, very loud and spicy opinions. You'll hear things like it takes $50,000 to self-publish or getting a traditional deal means you've officially made it. We'll also kind of talk about success versus commercial success, because I think those distinctions need to be very clear, especially if you as a listener right now are a want-to-be author, or you are a newer author, or you're a mid-list author and you want to know how that next breaking out success happens. Some of these things will kind of help you maybe flip some switches. And also, just so we're clear, it does not take $50,000 to publish a book. And you can have a traditional deal and it can bomb. And you can go nowhere. So let's break this down in a clear, reader-friendly way that what these paths actually mean, how they work, and why none of them guarantee success or failure. First of all, I want to say, if you wrote a book and you hit publish, I guess even if you write a book, congratulations. Like, you're an author.
Even if it's just sitting in a box somewhere.
You wrote a book. That's amazing.
An accomplishment.
That's amazing. You know, I think that people are always like, you know, I want to be an author. Well, you write. You have stories. You tell. You know, are you a published author? And I think that those distinctions matter a little bit.
Yeah.
Because putting words to paper, it's hard.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leah and I often joke about going to art class. You know, we sometimes... Your soul has never been brutalized the way
until you sit through critique day,
like critique day once a month or
there
once
is
a week.
Nothing more demoralizing than critique day.
Yeah. And so I think that authors, when you just even write the words, I get pushing publish, putting it out there for people to read.
It is scary as fuck, people.
So
scary.
Scary
as fuck.
And you're so brave and so amazing for do it. Even if you only ever do it one and done.
Yeah.
Good for you. And if you don't feel it was a huge success, I don't care. You were a success because you did something that was incredibly scary.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first place we're going to tackle is indie authors. And it's really interesting because when I started the podcast, I was really focused on indie. I really wanted to focus on indie authors, talk about the authors that we love. And by the time we hit the beginning of 2021, I was thinking about this last night, things really shook up in the indie market. That is when it started. The landscape of the indie changed.
Mm-hmm.
because you had people that were out there, like, well, for example, Chloe Lacey. She was indie published. I mean, what, the first four in the Bergman brothers were all indie
All but the
published?
last one weren't. Is there only five in that series?
I
I think
think
it was
there's
all but the last one
seven.
she indied.
Well, no, I think by book four she got bought.
Oh, I thought it was just the last one that she did.
She got bought.
Trad.
Those went full trad. And she hasn't gone back to indie publish. And then today I was reading something and I noticed that Hannah Cohen, she's back to indie publishing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her current series that she's writing is all self-pub. Which, okay, cool. So, I think that, and I don't think that there's one path that is perfect, because I can tell you all the things that are wrong with each and every path. And
Well, and
no.
not, I think the big thing is not everybody enjoys like certain paths either. Like there are authors who they really wanted those trad like deals and they got them, and the path was not what they expected.
Well, and we can look at some things that we're seeing, and these are observed. We don't know these to be fully true, but what we do know is true. Like if we look at Devney Perry, she sold the Edens. It was huge success. Entangled printed them. She's now bought them back. She has
And it was,
her.
they didn't even release, did they?
Yeah, they did.
No. Did they?
Yep.
Oh, I
They
didn't think they
released
could compete.
almost instantaneous as soon as she bought them.
I
They
didn't
were
think
printing them
I
out.
couldn't, I thought
Oh,
that they hadn't
same.
actually
Because
released.
see, they didn't have to do a cover change on those. She the
That's
deal
right.
was she printed those with the original covers. And then she had her Shield and Sparrow deal. And did you get her newsletter this week? Did you read it, Amanda?
No.
Her newsletter this week? So she will not be going on any tour with the next two books in the Shield of Sparrow series.
She didn't do much with the first one,
They're gonna come
really.
out and then she's done with them. If we look at that, I think she probably felt more comfortable in the indie space. I'm assuming, I'm making assumptions. I do not know this to be true. But based on what we've seen, she took back the Edens. She's going to recover them and put them back up as her own self-publish. And she didn't necessarily love the full trad route with Shield of Sparrow. Because with it, people act like I could just, when you get a trad deal, you just write the book and you submit it and they do
It's
everything. You still have so much promotion to do. I
And
look
if
at,
you're not a person who likes to go on tour, then that might not be for you.
well, I look at BK Borison, poor girl, everything, she's had her health issues. And then this week she was on tour for her Now Back to You. And it snowed everywhere. She couldn't get into New York to do her events. And it just gets to be a lot. So,
Well, and we were talking to Bridget Kemmerer, and she said when there's been multiple tours that she's done, and it like the weather has sucked in every single stop, and things have got delayed, things have got pushed. I mean, you can't control the weather.
No.
Again, back to the weather.
Back to the
But
weather.
like, you can't control it. And it's like you're kind of beholden to some of that sometimes. So it's like,
And I often,
unfortunately, like you have like natural things that hinder.
and we talk about this often, the majority of the reader community is not in online reader
No, they're not.
spaces. And so they don't always understand all the nuances that why is this author event canceled? Why is this author doing this? I think that that sometimes gets missed because of the lack of being in that circle.
Well, and oftentimes when things are canceled, things are vague, and it's like we do not, we are not entitled to an actual answer, but it's like
No.
people do get upset about the fact that they don't know what's going on. But it's like if you're not in some of those online spaces like we are, like you don't necessarily know what's going on. But again, we are not entitled to that. It is an author's choice to share.
Well, right, and they owe us nothing. They owe us nothing. Okay, so what an indie author means, an indie author is they publish their books on their own without a traditional publishing house. What that looks like in practice, the author makes all the decisions, covers, edits, pricing, release time, and marketing. They invest upfront in things like editing, cover design, and formatting. Some do it themselves on formatting. And they earn higher royalties per book, but also carry 190% of the responsibility. Success often comes from treating publishing like a small business, not a lottery ticket.
Because it is a business. Like you are creating a business when you're selling a product.
Leah or Amanda, I don't care which one. I'm going to read the myths. Do you want to read the reality?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. So the myth, indie books aren't real or professional.
The reality is that many indie books are edited, designed, and produced at the same time or higher level as traditional releases.
People don't realize that often.
This is one of the things that make me so mad. I get so angry about this.
So let's take Marie Johnson, and I know this for a fact because I am on her team. So let's take a book by Marie Johnston. Do you know that she uses two different developmental editors, a copy and a line editor, and two proofreaders?
I did because I read the front matter of her books.
There you go. But she's paying out of her profit
Before she even publishes.
before she even publishes.
Well, because if you read her newsletter, I don't know if it was her Marie one or her Walker one that just came out. Like she talked about how it can take her 6 months start to finish for a book because of all the things that go into it. And also, if you're not reading Marie Johnston and Walker Rose, you need to stop what you're doing and read them all because they
Absolutely.
are wonderful books.
Oh, I thought for some reason Whiskey Flirt was out already because I had just been kind of a little bit behind and I had like a spare minute like the
And
other
you were
night and
real
I went in to
angry
get
about
it and
it?
I was like, it is not there.
Oh, I've read that one. I've read that one.
No, you've read that one, but
I read
it's not out
that one.
yet. It's not out
No,
yet.
it's
And I'm
not
just
out to the
like,
masses
yeah.
yet. Out to the masses.
So I was real upset. I was like, man.
Sometimes I forget how many books ahead I am of people. And that like throws me sometimes because I was talking about a book with someone yesterday and they were like, oh, can I, what book is that? And I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't come out till next week. Sorry. Okay, myth, indie authors don't make real money.
The reality is that some do very well, but it usually comes from consistency, strategy, and time.
Let's look at Susan Stoecker. Lady built a house in Maine. She goes on world
She bought the
tours.
house in Maine. They did not build the house
Oh,
in
I thought they
Maine.
built it.
No, they bought it after much searching.
Okay. But she
But there was
also
like,
like went on a world cruise, took her niece and her mother to the Galapagos Islands, took
well, she was, they were just in Hawaii and they were on an Alaskan cruise or going someplace else. Like
Mr. Stokenhurst
her and,
spent quite some time in China.
well, yes, they did. Yes, they travel a lot. Yes.
I'm just saying.
But she, I mean, now she is hybrid now, so she is not, but she started indie, like has worked her way up to
Well,
it.
okay, we'll talk about that in the next section. Indie authors have, so the myth, indie authors have to do everything alone forever.
Reality is that many build teams as their careers grow.
Indie authors trade built-in support for creative and financial control. And that's something that oftentimes is not talked about with some of these trad deals that people don't realize. I would guess that part of the reason, like, Elsie Silver wants to keep her ebooks, even though she's likes the trad deal that comes with it, she sees that money, gets that money, and it can be a little bit more steady versus like Simon and Schuster. I think that their royalties pay twice a year, and you have to earn back your advance before you even get to touch your royalties. So if your advance was $1 million, you got to earn $1 million in book sales. How does that work while you're still trying to
Well, but also
live?
to when you keep your rights, you control your price.
Well, right. And in her contract, her price might be standard from them. Like she might have to charge a specific amount. I don't know because I haven't seen that contract. But one of the things with Indie is the financial control, the financial consistency, even though it's based on how many books sell or whatever. But you know this month how much you made last month and when you're going to see that so that you can budget and move forward. Okay, so let's talk about hybrid authors because this is, it's not new. It's becoming more common. And part of hybrid, it's almost, there's two different ways of saying hybrid. So one would be like what Susan is doing. She has sold series to Montlake, a traditional publishing house that edits, publish, and owns those books. But there's also the hybrid model where the author is keeping like their ebook rights and only
But they
selling
sell
paperback
paperback,
distribution, or they can sell the sub right of audio. And I don't know if you would consider that part of the hybrid community if an author, is selling a sub right like audio or
I
because
think
they're
so
no
because
longer
there are,
indie.
but there, 'cause there are a lot of authors who produce and like do all of their own audio. So it's like if you're selling a Porsche, like the rights to that, so you are giving up control, like that is creating that hybrid like stance for you. Because like, and honestly, a lot of authors do sell their audio rights because it is easier for them because audio production is very expensive.
It's very expensive, but they're starting to find because of so like things have popped up. Like Simon and Schuster has an audio division now. So it used to be you really were competing with Tantor and Audible, and then we've had Blackstone and we've had Podium kind of pop up that are these audio production houses, or audio publishers. I guess they're publishers.
Yeah,
And
essentially.
now you have Simon Maverick, which is also only buying audio rights. And then you also have Sourcebooks is getting ready to launch their own audio li only line also to compete. So, when you start selling rights, like
But
main
that's the thing.
rights.
Like, I feel like if you sell any portion of any right, it creates a hybrid status for you.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so read what hybrid means, Leah, while I look at this question.
A hybrid author publishes some books independently and others with traditional publishers. What that looks like in practice, they choose the best path for each project, not one permanent lane. They might publish one genre traditional and another in one genre traditionally and another independently. They juggle multiple timelines, contracts, and expectations, and indie income can help offset the slower pace of traditional publishing.
Jen Ellen asks for new authors who don't have money for an indie publish. What about going down the AO3 or like the Wattpad type sites and building an audience while saving? So you don't charge on something like AO3. And I don't Wattpad.
You don't know Wattpad is free, but they do pay authors.
Yeah, so.
Wattpad is free to post because, like Avery Keelan, who I interviewed a while ago, she started out as a Wattpad author, but she was actually one of the paid authors. So, like, you have to have so many like reads, so many follows, things. I'm not exactly sure how Wattpad works, but there's like a lot of like specifications that you have to have achieved before you are a paid writer, paid author on Wattpad.
And I honestly believe the better path for an author would be a Patreon, start free, and as you start to build a following, then start moving things behind paywalls, or a Substack, a paid Substack where people are paying for your story. That way, you're earning income with a low entry barrier. The thing is, though, you can get a cheap pre-made cover. And do you have to hire an editor for your first book? No, you do not have to. There are tools out there that you can use, like Pro Writing Aid, Grammarly, that are not AI, that are doing more intense, grammatical
What's this
checks.
essentially like spell check, but higher, like a higher quality.
And Stacy brings up there's also
Is it still
ream.
called spell check?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so myth on a hybrid author. Hybrid authors are confused or can't commit. Are you going to read the reality?
Oh, am I reading it? Okay,
Yes.
sorry. I didn't realize it was my turn again.
Your turn.
I was so like
She
annoyed by
just
that
was
myth. I was
judging.
just like, wait, yes, I was being very judgy. The reality is that it's usually a strategic, informed decision.
Myth, traditional publishers dislike hybrid authors.
The reality is that publishers care about professionalism and sales, not labels.
And right now, more than ever, so many people are being lied to. I'm going to tell you right
So
now,
many lies.
sales matter. Even if you're trying to sell a book, a debut book to a publisher, your followers on socials matter. Building community now matter before you push your book out to a publisher, because nobody wants to take a risk, right? We're risk adverse. We do not want to take risks. But if you have a built-in follower count, even if you paid for that follower count, publishing doesn't know
They
that, but
don't
they see
care.
that big number and they think, okay, built-in audience. If your sales, you published in any book and it's done really well, we know, I know that there is an author who really wanted a Bloom deal, who spent about $100,000 on ads, influencers, covers, marketing, audiobooks in order to push her books so that she got noticed and she got readers. And did she make that money back? 100% she did. She probably made it back before she sold to Bloom. But followers matter, sales matter. That is, and hybrid is going to become more and more common. Either the hybrid model where it's publishers buying the audiobooks and the paperback rights, although I don't think distro deals are going to happen as frequently as they were before.
No,
I
they're
think
starting to really not even happen right now.
because
Too much.
publishers aren't making enough money on just paperback sales, they need all of the rights. Because the other piece of that is, so when you sign a traditional deal, you're signing typically for worldwide rights, which means every translation that is happening, it's actually sold from your publisher on your behalf to the other language publisher. So I think distro rights are expensive, and they aren't getting the income back that they once were. So I don't think they'll be as
Well, and
common.
it's but it's one of those things where they're buying books that people are not wanting to buy again.
Yes, that are already out.
And they're not doing anything like dynamic with the covers, and I think that's part of it
Well, and I
a
think
lot of
even Jen
times.
Ellen was saying that, she was out looking at books today and like everything was a sprayed edge to the point where like, it's
Well, and
everything's a
since they
sprayed
have
edge.
Since the printed edges have started too, it's like every book, like basic, not basic books, but like you look at Amazon and there's a ton of like edges because the printed edge has started, and it is cost efficient and cost effective for a lot of people to do it, because you like there's free programs that do it and you upload it onto your PDF. Like, it is a little bit more expensive to print those books. But at the end of the day, people are willing to spend the money on those because it's not that much more to do it.
Well, and printed edges also, I was telling people at the bookstore, because they're like, why are there so many printed edges all of a sudden? I said, because for the last 2 years, about 50% of your romance novels were originally indie published, have been picked up, and are being republished by traditional publishers, and they got to trick you to buy that book again. So that is,
And also, a lot of times they're really freaking pretty.
They are. We're all a fool for it. The J.R. Ward book, Britt had the J.R. Ward book there, and I like
It's so
lovingly looked at
pretty.
the edges and.
Well, and especially like with books like that, where you know, like start to finish, you're gonna have like a full like image when you're done. Like, I love nothing more than when a series gives me like the full image start to finish. Or
Yeah.
even it can be simple too, because I bought those Michelle Hurd special editions, the dark and quirky ones off of Mercari, but it's an
Oh yeah.
ombre edge and it is so pretty when you have those edges out and you see it, and I'm a whore for an ombre.
Oh, they've done really well with their matching like edges because I bought the Simple Wild series from K.A. Tucker from them, and I was just like floored. I was like, so that's how, I mean, that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. So hybrid authors build a publishing portfolio, not a single identity. But I don't think that indie authors have a single identity, and I don't think traditional published authors have a single identity. So that statement, I think what that statement is showing is diversification. A hybrid author is choosing diversification. They're not just putting their eggs in the indie basket. They're saying, hey, I still want indie, and it was announced Walker Rose got a trad deal with Book Couture, but she and I, we've talked about like, well, what does this mean? Because a lot of people don't realize there are oftentimes blackout dates around your trad release that you can't publish anything new from this time to this time. And if you're an author, say a Susan Stoker or a Sawyer Bennett, who releases a book every 6 weeks or a book every month, if you get a blackout circle around and you can't do 90 days before or 90 days after, that's 6 books. That could stump your sales.
Well, and we've talked about how Susan, like even with her Mont Lake stuff, like she does not have those blackout dates. She is an anomaly. Like that is not common.
Unless you're with a really small press, it's very uncommon, because even even some of my authors that I work with at the agency,
They still have the blackout
they
dates.
have blackout dates. And that doesn't mean like a re they can't recover or do a special
Yeah, like they
edition.
can still do things, they just cannot publish new
New material.
works.
So I do believe in an indie author to become, if you start to achieve commercial success as an indie author, so an Emily McIntyre, a Katie Robert, a Savar Miller, a Megan Quinn, they started to receive commercial success. And that's when publishing comes knocking and says, hey, we want some of this. So while commercial success is not common in a indie author, it is absolutely common in a hybrid author, because I think that commercial success now is defined by either a distribution deal or some kind of hybrid model.
Well, and part of it though is the exposure rate. Like the hybrid author, like your book is in a Target, your book is in a Walmart. So you will get those people who are not just in the romance space seeing your book. So it adds a different element to it.
Karen says, isn't this why Juliana Stone had to hold off a book for later? She didn't know. She didn't have a blackout date. She could have published that last book. She
I
decided to
thought that she
wait.
did have the blackout dates.
No, she chose to push it back. Originally, she didn't have a date. She chose. Because that publisher, Chocolate, is a smaller press.
That's true. I might be thinking of Lauren.
It could be, but she didn't have a blackout date. She chose to push it back. I don't think she was ready to, because again, marketing, right? Like you got to market one
You're
book and
doing
you
it
got to
all
market
yourself.
another, and how many layers? And Juliana Stone does not have a team. She doesn't have a PA. She doesn't have,
Yeah, she does
a
everything
marketing person.
herself.
She does it all herself. Okay, let's talk about traditional authors, because, so many people believe that this is the only way to achieve is to have your books in Target or Walmart. And I think that's bull cocky.
Because, I mean,
I could name like five off the top of my head who are strictly KU authors who are extremely successful.
I mean, I'm talking seven-figure authors as indie published authors. They don't need your stinking Walmarts, people. Okay, read. What is a traditional author, Leah? Read it for us.
A traditional author publishes through a publishing house, usually with the help of an agent. What that looks like in practice is the publisher pays in advance and royalties. The publisher controls many decisions, including covers, pricing, and timelines. The process is slower, much slower, but offers wider bookstore distribution, and the author takes on less upfront financial risk but earns lower royalties per book.
And we've seen many traditional authors have a book come out, full marketing behind it, and it flop. And I mean, we don't talk about the authors that, we've seen traditionally publish and then just quietly fade away. Nobody talks about the number of authors that are out there that their advances, even a smaller advance, a $35,000 advance, never paid out. They've not earned royalties in 7 years. And I think that that is something you see the Emily McIntyres, you see the Sarah Cates, and you think, I want that. That is what I want. I want to achieve that level of commercial success. They're not the norm. They're not the standard.
No, it's really hard to get there.
Very hard. And just because Berkeley bought your book, okay, so let's talk about Amy Dawes real quick, okay? Amy Dawes had commercial success with the Harris Brothers. She wrote her Wait For Me series. She got featured on BuzzFeed. Like, she was doing great. Mountain Man series gets picked up by Harlequin. Now, she has made USA Today. She has not made New York Times. And those covers are cute. Those edges are adorable. Those books are places. But, the achievement of New York Times has not happened for her. And I, we know that based on the announcement of her sale, that she had a excellent deal. So she had the top deal. It was over $500,000 was her advance. There are rumors that it was seven figures. So, now the question is she's got four or five books out now with Canary Street within the last 14 months. Do we
Yeah,
think?
because book one was re-released and wasn't the last, like the Wait For Me's, are those, they haven't gotten re-released yet, have they?
I don't think so.
No, those have not. No.
I didn't think so.
Just the last book in the series because it's the first brother of the Mountain Man.
Yeah, well, that's what, but like that whole
Oh, okay.
series was bought, but only the last one has been re-released. And then the, I mean, she's on three, she did the three Mountain Mans with the fourth one coming.
But I mean, speculation. Do we think that that has earned back a seven-figure advance in royalties? And again, royalties is not sales.
But
Like,
that's the thing,
has she earned
royalties is
$1 million
very
in sales?
different.
Right.
But and
She
then
gets
the trad royalties
20%.
are mapped out and tiered very differently
It's
than the indie
20%.
royalties.
It's 20% on those, and then percentage goes to your agent, and then you see the rest. So traditional publishing is not like it's not this perfect win. Just because you have a cute cover and cute edge does not mean you're going to make New York Times. And I think we've talked about this before. The only way to make USA Today, well, that's not true. Typically, right now, there are a few anomalies that have snuck in as USA Today, but the majority, you cannot make New York Times as an indie author. It's impossible. You have to have a trad release now because of how they've changed their algorithm equation thing that they use. And USA Today, it's exceptionally difficult to get USA Today as an indie. I think we saw Lena Hendricks get it, and someone else very recently
Yeah, and
snuck
I'm
in. Like, it was a
blanking
weird,
on who it
who was the,
was. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it was a very random sneak in.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close to
But it was
impossible.
but there but it was somebody who did a huge pre-order campaign, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I don't know. So we're back to us again, Amanda. Common
Okay.
myths of traditional publishing. Myth: traditional publishing guarantees success.
The reality is that it guarantees publication, not sales or visibility.
Myth: publishers handle all the marketing.
The reality is that authors are still expected to actively promote their work.
Myth: once you're trad, everything gets easier.
The reality is that the challenges change, they do not disappear.
Traditional authors trade control for infrastructure and reach, but reach again, not guaranteed. Amanda, how many emails a week do we get of a book pitch from different publishing houses? And I don't
A
think we're on
lot.
every publishing house's radar, but we're on
No, we are not.
quite
But
a few.
I mean,
We get a lot.
we get a lot. I mean, 20.
20 pitches, 20 books a week
Yeah.
get.
I mean,
And
and
sometimes.
sometimes it's the same book that we've heard before, but I mean,
Right.
there
But
it's
20 new,
roughly
and
20
that's
a
the
week.
thing. Like, you definitely know when they're really trying to push a
Yes.
book because we get the email over and over
Over.
and over again.
But we're talking 20 individual book pitches a week coming at us. And these are the ones that we're on that publishing house's radar. And they want us, they would like either for us to review, feature and review something about this book. And that is a very, that 20 is a very small percentage of what the houses are actually publishing. So these are just the ones that they're putting marketing eyes on. So while we will often say the indie market, the pool is a little saturated, it isn't any better in the trad house either. Because we cannot feature every book Berkeley sends us. I love Gisele at Bramble, but I start to
Like,
hyperventilate a little bit when I get another email from her because I adore her. But sister, who else is
I
at
mean,
Bramble?
I cannot read any more than I'm already reading for
Right.
reviews. Like, I've been at max capacity since the middle of last year, probably.
We just have to stay off
We
NetGalley.
have no, and we have done a good job. Like,
We've
we
been
have
good.
done a good
Well, that's
job.
just because I stopped opening emails.
That
Which
is
I do not have
until
time for that,
that is
which I have
until
to fix this week on my list.
that was until like this week, and I got that email about Amelie Howard, and it wasn't even an
But
email from a publisher, you
that
guys.
one does
Wait.
not technically count because we reached out.
We reached out because I
That
got the
was.
this book coming soon, and I'm like, wait, I adore her. I love Amelie. Let's.
Well, and it's something different for her, and we were very excited about it. So that one does not
Okay, but
count.
it's two books, not just one. I'm making
Yeah, but
Amanda
we
read
only had
two
to get
books.
one off of
We only had
NetGalley.
to get one off that
Yeah, that did break the
So
streak.
it doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
I love how we have to justify our like
Yeah,
kittens.
I've been good. I think other than that one, I'm like over a week.
I think there was one other one, but it was something. I was an interview, so I had to get it. Oh no, it was the Jane Castle book. Yeah,
Oh
it
well,
wasn't.
yes, because you have to read about
Also,
the
that
dust
doesn't
bunnies.
count. Yeah, that one doesn't count either. But
I
yeah,
have
so
the audio of Helena Hunting's next book that I had the ebook. I need to, but she sent me the audio today and I was very grateful for that.
I mean, sometimes you just need the audio. It just makes life easier.
Yeah. Also, Britt put me as an employee on the bookstore, and so Libro FM, we are in their ALC
Oh
program
no.
now.
Who,
That,
we or you?
well, me, I mean, we can be we.
I
So I
mean, we
do
are a
have the new
we.
Nevessa Allen book three. Ooh,
Uh-oh.
You may share
I have the
that.
audio of that.
I would like that audio.
But I
'Cause
also
I'm
accidentally
excited for
picked up a
that.
Christian book and there's a lot
And
of
the cover is
Jesus.
so
It
cute. There was no
is super cute.
indication.
No, it
But
was
is it
just the
okay?
title. And then I was like, huh. But I didn't even look at the title until I was like into it, like five chapters. And I'm like, oh.
I still didn't
But
even
was
get
it,
it.
were those five chapters well written, though? That's
They're
the ultimate
exceptionally well
question.
written. And I'm going to give it a chance. But there's a lot of praying and Jesus. And I'm just not a Jesus girl, at least not that way. I'm an oh God girl, but not a Jesus girl.
Well, you're a Jesus girl in certain ways
I'm a
too.
cheese and rice girl more than a
You
Jesus.
are. Yes, Karen, there are a fuck ton of releases this month.
Oh yeah. I
So
can't
many.
even like just putting together the list.
Yeah. Like, I
It's
swear
massive.
either the last week of February or like March, every author we know has a release.
Stacy asks in the YouTube chat, I heard a hybrid author say a few years ago she would rather you buy a book at Walmart over Barnes and Noble since it shows the box store's buyers to keep buying from publishers. Is that still the case? Yes. So, yes, there is more. I want to say this carefully. So, there is value at having your books in the big box stores because shelf space is finite. And oftentimes, end caps are sold to the publisher at a premium. But there's also the piece of things like the Walmart exclusive, the book club edition at Walmart. That says Walmart has ordered a certain amount of those books. So it's a guaranteed press run for the publisher. And the
And
fact
it's
that,
usually one press run as well,
yeah.
too. They usually don't order a second
And I
one.
think it's a minimum of 25,000 on that. So that's a guaranteed sale, right? Like that's Walmart's, it's not sales as far as like lists, but from the publisher, their warehouse, that's a guaranteed sales. Barnes and Noble, they don't buy. So Barnes and Noble ordering is a little different. Barnes and Noble might say, we'll take 10,000 books. And then their stores are the ones that order from the Barnes and Noble warehouse, how many books per store. And so there's a chance that, your local store might not even have that book because they didn't think that for their community of readers at their Barnes and Noble that they're going to pick up that book. That's not the case at Walmart and Target. They aren't necessarily targeting what people are reading. They're just
Well,
shoving
Walmart
it
and
on the shelf.
Target are not requesting the stock. Like, they're given the stock. The
Right.
Barnes and Noble have to request the stock.
Yeah.
Like, the setup is different. It's like when you go to Old Navy, like every Old Navy has all the same clothes because they are just shipped a certain amount. Like,
Right.
they don't request them.
Right. Same thing. Right. So, same things for any kind of retailers. So, buying from a Walmart, buying from a Target, if you're not going to buy from an indie bookstore, if you're going to buy from a big commercial retailer, for a traditional author, buying them at a Walmart or Target leads to potential for more shelf space, more print, larger print runs, and potential exclusive editions. Does that make
I mean, you
sense?
do get the occasional like Barnes and Noble exclusive editions also,
Yeah,
but
they
they are
do them
not
as well.
as,
You do. And I mean, again, those are different, and people don't realize this. So this is getting a little in the weeds, people. A Barnes and Noble exclusive, they pay for that privilege. So,
Oh, okay.
like a Target exclusive, Target pays for the privilege to have that sticker, to have that art, to have that exclusive copy. It doesn't affect what the author makes, but it affects the price point at which
They can sell it.
at which the publisher sells it to the retailer. So
Oh,
let's say
okay.
typically it's $1 to buy a paperback. The retailer from the Walmart buys the paperback for $1 from Penguin Random House, and they put it on their shelf and sell it for $15. If it's a Walmart exclusive, they are paying $2. Walmart pays the publisher $2 per book to put their Walmart exclusive on their shelves. So the retailers pay that privilege, buy that privilege.
Gotcha.
Okay, so big picture things. None of these paths are better than the other. They're not rankings or value judgments. They are simply tools and paths. Many authors move between them over time. Some mix them, some change paths as their life goals and energies shift. The right path depends on what an author wants most in that season. Is it control? Is it speed? Is it income? Is it reach? Is it stability? Or is it sanity? I think that traditional publishing is incredibly hard and incredibly challenging, and breaking through is like your soul gets beaten. Like, go.
And there are some authors who have chosen traditional contracts and will never do it again.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody that works in agency, and I get the emails from the authors that are querying for an agent, like, you've had this for 90 days. How have I not heard anything? Or I see the things on Threads where, like, my agent fired me. I need a new agent. And the people that are like, I got my seventh rejection today from querying. And every single time it breaks my heart. Like, I would like to say, oh, okay, yeah, just come query to me. I'll see what I can do. But the truth
But that's not how it
is, it
works.
doesn't
Yeah,
work
you
that
can't.
way. And it's the market, because of the few that have had the huge commercial success, the Tessa Baileys, the Katie Roberts, the Amy Dawes, the Megan Quinns, because of that, many, many indie authors are trying that route. They're trying to go that way. And it's creating an oversaturation of market, and publishers can't get through them all. So, just, like, there's just a lot on the market, which is great for readers, right? Because so many options. And also, I have seen contracts come into an author for a traditional book, and the rights, the way it's written, the things the publisher wants, the guarantees that they want, the author walks away because it doesn't fit
What they need.
to what they want to do or what they need or what their readers expect. Because we all saw the hubbub that happened with Maggie Moves On and Lucy Score because of the lack of education to her readership. And $12.99, when you go from a book's usually being KU or $4.99 to $12.99, I honestly, in my professional opinion, I think that's part of what's happened to Paisley Hope. She was killing it. She sold the books to St. Martin's Press. They're not in KU. They are all $12.99 for an ebook. And I think that that has been hard because her reader base was
Yeah,
a
we're not
KU reader
expecting it.
base and wasn't expected. And so it's a challenge, right?
It is not for the
Okay.
faint of heart.
Let's see here. Bonnie says, as someone who's queried almost everything I've written, you have to develop a thick skin to move on and keep going. And being an author is not easy. And right now, all of us are feeling the overwhelmingness in the world. And it's getting harder to focus on books. It's getting harder to escape from the realities of all of this. And I think a lot of authors, I know there's been some movement over the last couple of days over on Threads, authors talking about like how much I made this month and how successful I am this month. And I think overall, even in our lives, we're all feeling the pinch. Nothing is cheap. All of us are losing income. I think it's just the current situation. And I don't feel that it's fair for anyone to be judging their success based on what's happening right now.
It's the wild, wild west out there,
No.
honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
Yeah.
it
Yeah.
is,
Everywhere. It is the
I
wild,
always,
wild
yeah.
west everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think
And it
that
is not going to get any better anytime
the
soon.
successes now are, I got out of bed today. I survived today. I
I
did
put
no
on hard
harm
pants.
today. Let's not get crazy, Leah. Amanda's not leaving her house for the next 30 days. I do not believe she's putting hard pants on.
Oh, I'm gonna go. I started going to Pilates class to hopefully help my shoulder, but yeah, that'll be the
Hard
only time
pants
I
are
leave,
not
and I
needed
don't
in
wear hard pants
Pilates.
for that. And that's about the
Nobody
only
wears
time
hard
I'm leaving
pants at
my house.
Pilates.
I know.
So,
I mean, if you wear hard pants at Pilates, you have other things wrong.
I
I
mean, you
mean,
can't.
True that.
It's, yeah. I mean, or you're real flexible and,
I'm just saying,
yeah.
authors, stop comparing your successes to others. You have to set your own goals, define your success and what that looks like,
Yes.
and just be
Well,
proud that
and
you made
the
it through the
one
day
thing though,
today.
too, is one level of success for one author is not always the same for another author. Like everybody
No.
like judges their success in different ways.
I think about us with the podcast, right? We're 100% indie podcast. We rarely do we take sponsorship. We've done a couple advertisements. We don't. I mean, overall, Mike
Yeah.
Burrier funds us.
Seriously.
Seriously, that man, God love him. But we see successes. Are we the most viral thing out there? Absolutely not. Have we been working our ass off for 5.5 years to get what we
Yes,
have right now?
we have.
Yes, we have. And it's so funny though, because I had put like a little introduction thing on Threads this early last week. And I just said, "Hey, I'm Becky. I'm the host creator of Buzzing About Romance." And like Dylan Allen comments, like, "I love you guys." Avery F Amanda.
I love her.
I know you do. And but she knows who we are, right? Like Dylan Allen knows who we are. What?
I know it's weird. It's so weird.
Avery Flynn constantly like, "I love you guys. I got a book coming in September. I want to come back." Like, there are, I think every day, I know we often, I'll say to the girls, like, "Who's on your wish list? Who haven't we not talked to? We got to talk to J.R. Ward. We've gotten to talk to Ashley Bennett." And to me, those are the successes of the day, right? Like, somebody paid
We have
attention to us.
some big ones coming up too.
And we do. Yeah, you have one in coming up that's going to be for May, right? D
Two for May.
two
Two
big
big
two
ones
big
for
ones for
May.
May?
Yeah,
Two big
we're
ones for May.
recording both in April, right?
Yeah. I think they've, yeah.
I don't know. I was looking at the calendar.
I've got it
We
right here,
have
probably.
some big things are coming in the spotlight world,
But it's
people.
just, our success is not a million downloads. We aren't the first bookish podcast people think of. Are we constantly always falling behind that other group? Yes. Do we like the other group? No. She makes me mad and I hate them both. But I take my petty pants where I put them. But our success is, hey, listen, people showed up and listened to us. And the fact that it's, listen, I said to somebody the other day, I said, "Listen, my mom's dead now. She can't listen to me anymore. So I know that other people
Oh.
are listening." There for a long time, I was convinced the only one listening to me was my mother.
But Lynn loved listening to
She
us, and
did.
Lynn was always in the comments
We
and
had to
cheering
block
us
Lynn
on.
off in the comments because they were wild sometimes.
But Lynn was always there to
She
support
was, but I'm
us.
just saying, like, we have more than just my mom listening to us.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Anyway, okay.
We have for a while, it just doesn't seem
It just
anymore.
doesn't always feel that way. Okay, guess what time it is? Oh, I hope that explains the different author paths. If you have questions specific to this, hit us up. We'll probably do an Ask Us Anything in the coming next month or two. So we'll save
That
them
could
for
be
that.
dangerous.
Anyway, okay, guess what time it is?
It's that time
It's that time
for Book
Book
of
of the Week.
the
Book of the
Week.
Week time. Leah, what's your Book of the Week?
So apparently, I have a type right now
Oh, shocking.
because my Book of the Week is Kylie Kent's new book, Dead or Alive. So it's Emmanuel and Evie. He is psycho. Like he kills a lot of people. Like and yeah. And I really enjoy Kylie Kent, as you all know. Like he is on the level of like Josh, like in unhingedness.
Okay.
It is it was so good. And I thought I knew like something, but I was wrong, but I was close and I was very excited, but I was like, whoa, whoa. That was a really good twist there. But
Okay.
it's good. It's her new one. It's a spin-off from her Vegas series that she just finished up, and she's actually going to do the second gen like coming soon as well. So I just love me some Kylie Kent.
Okay. Amanda, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is A Girl Like Her by Talia Hibbert. This is actually, she originally published this in 2018, but it is re-releasing with a pretty new pink cover on Tuesday.
I think Sourcebooks picked it up. Somebody
Yeah,
picked it up.
Sourcebooks.
So.
Yeah. And it's book one in her Ravenswood series. I had not read this series before, and this was like a, I saw the cover on NetGalley and I was like, oh, I need that. Because I love Talia Hibbert. And I was like, oh, yay. And then I realized that it was like, a re-release. And so, like, the other books are already out, so I can
Now, are
get right
they,
into
did she
those.
expand them or is she just.
I don't know. I didn't read the first one. It didn't
Oh, okay.
really say. There's like a, I think maybe like a little bit, but
Just to
not
re-edit it.
much. Yeah. So, but anyway, this one is, it's set in a small town in England. It's called, the small town's called Ravenswood. It's about Ruth and Evan. Ruth is kind of like, she has like a history with the town. They're really mean to her. And you kind of find out what happened and why. It has to do with the town's like golden boy, like son of one of the major business owners. And then Evan moves to town and they end up being neighbors. And Ruth is like, she's autistic and she's very prickly. And I love her so much. Like she is like, and Evan loves her prickliness. So he
But I
like
love a
meets
prickly
her like right
character.
there. Yeah. And I love the neighbor's situation. He pretty much just, kind of just, he starts feeding her because he,
Oh,
so I
you
mean,
like that care side of things.
yes. So it was like right up my alley, and it's, you can get it, on KU. So
Yeah.
yeah, I highly recommend it.
Excellent.
What about you? Did you
Mine
read this
is,
week?
I did. So it was how I found out that Hannah Cohen is self-publishing again. Show Me How by Hannah Cohen. It is the book one in her new series. It's Small Town Runaway Bride. He's a tattoo artist. It is the
All the things.
playboy versus the good girl, and he is pierced. This book, I read it all from start to finish, like in one sitting.
Oh, wow.
Off the
That is an
charts
accomplishment this
chemistry.
week.
Off the charts chemistry. Like,
Okay, I'll have to check this one out.
cannot say enough. And it's not a plus size hero this, or heroine this time. She's curvy, but she's not plus size. The next book, she is plus size. But I think one of the things that Hannah Cohen does really well is her body diversity. Like, she can write curvy, mid-size, plus
Like not
size.
every character looks the same. Like
No.
every like there are different bodies as like there is in the real
Yeah.
world.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So, like I said, it's Western. It's small town Canada. It's not, but it's not cowboy. I think the next book, he is a cowboy, but this book was not. So, okay. We are off live episodes until Sunday, March 15th for spring break. It's kind of spring break. Mike's on spring break, so I wanted to give him some time off. And then the girl child has a show the week of the 9th, and that gets a little hairy with her having to be at the theater and when she gets done in tech week. And if you're in theater, you totally understand it. So it was just easier for us to take from now and come back on the 15th. So we'll be back live on the 15th, but we're going to drop some author spotlights. We'll drop one this week, a couple this week, a couple next week on Sunday. I might have Mike resurrect an old quick shot from the Patreon archives, and maybe we'll drop that. So there will be new stuff in your feed, but not us live.
Not these shiny
Maybe not
faces.
quick shots because I got a dirty look when I said that. So
Oh.
maybe not those. But that's okay. We'll just do author spotlights. For a lit, oh, we didn't talk about any books. We don't have any books, but you can visit our on the shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you loved this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. Just to kind of reiterate, because I know we have several authors, newbie authors, old authors, established authors, whatever you want to call them. At the end of the day, there is no right path in publishing, and there is no single definition of success. Indie, hybrid, traditional, they're not gold stars or finish lines. They're options. What matters is that the stories keep getting written, the books will keep finding their readers, and the readers who need them. The joy doesn't get completely buried under expectations and hot takes. Writing books, sharing them with the world, should be joyful. It should not feel like a competition. If you're curious, learning, or just trying to make sense of this noise, you're not behind, you're not doing it wrong, you're definitely not alone. Wherever you are in your reading or publishing journey, there's room for you here, and we're cheering you on. We are always going to be your loudest and your best advocates. So if you need a cheerleader, if you need a friend that will help you kind of, so you have your meltdowns, but you also have somebody cheering you on, come find us. We're here. We got you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and joining us.
It's always a good time.
Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.